in awe and thrilling new living sound. Kill me with that cool. You're listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Hey, Noah, what's really going on with your Cleveland Browns? You get the latest information directly from the source. That's right, that's us. Download the official Cleveland Browns mobile app for Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. Stay connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere. You can hear the show streaming live. You can hear interviews and segments from the show. A plethora of Browns information. Vic Carucci with you from Super Bowl 48 in the heart of Manhattan. Nathan Zagura, the Nate Dog, is in Northeast Ohio. Nathan, it's media day today.
Northeast Ohio.
It's media day today. The Seahawks in New Jersey now taking center stage in Newark for their portion of media day. Richard Sherman, I know, has been holding court there for a while. And then earlier it was the Denver Broncos. And we had a chance to hear from Broncos quarterback Peyton Manning on the topic, and I touched on this with Chris Myers just a short while ago from Fox Sports, on the topic of Peyton Manning's legacy. Here's what Manning had to say.
I've been being asked about my legacy since I was about 25 years old, which I'm not sure you can have a legacy when you're 25 years old and or even 37. I thought you had to be like 70 to have a legacy. So I'm not 100% sure what the word even means. I'm still in the middle of my career. Let me rephrase that. I'm down the home stretch of my career, but I'm still in it. It's not over yet, and so it's still playing out. And this has been the second chapter of my career, and it's an exciting chapter. And I'm certainly excited to be back in the Super Bowl, you know, on behalf of the Denver Broncos.
You know, what he says makes perfect sense, but I think we both know that there will be those harsh judgments. They're going to be harsh judgments if he does not win a Super Bowl.
Yeah, but for me personally, whether he wins or not doesn't change the fact that to me he's the greatest regular season quarterback of all time and easily one of the top three quarterbacks of all time. If he wins another Super Bowl, because that's the way that a lot of things are measured, it puts him in the discussion, I think, to be considered the greatest ever. But to me, in terms of regular season performance and what he's been able to do, and a guy who's taken advantage of the rule changes and gotten better to do what he's doing at this age, he is clearly one of the best to ever play this game, period, win or lose. Even if he comes out and throws 20 passes and they're all interceptions, he's still one of the best that's ever played this game.
I'm a big Peyton Manning fan, and I hear everything you're saying. It almost sounds like you were stating that as a clear compliment, but when I hear people say greatest regular season quarterback ever, it almost sounds like a backhanded compliment. It almost sounds like the woman who's described as having a nice personality. And you just get
he's better than that. But you have to look at his playoff record, yeah, and you have to be disappointed with it. How many games did he go one and done
right
at home when you would like to think that a quarterback as good as he is would have won those games? And even if you were, and I saw this brought up, I believe it was on Grantland, where they talked about adjusting the playoff record of quarterbacks for byes, counting basically getting a first-round bye, having that count as a win in your record, and he still is not even in the top five, even in that framework.
You know, because he's been dogged by that whole can't win the big game thing since college, right? Since Tennessee. I mean, that followed him into the NFL. And it's been a pleasure to spend the better part of my NFL career covering that guy's career. And the time I spent with NFL.com covering the league on a national basis, a lot of my travels took me to Indianapolis, took me to Peyton Manning, and spent a lot of time there. So maybe there's a little bias coming into this because you get to know someone and you get to know what they're all about. And he went to different levels that I didn't see athletes go with his understanding of the stuff we do and his comprehension. He just had that get it thing. He got it. So part of me leans in that direction. But then the other part of me says, you're judging players and talent. Let's remove the personalities and just talk about what happens on the field. And what has happened on the field for him, unfortunately, again, two Super Bowl appearances and only one victory. So for his sake, I would love to see the Broncos be triumphant in this game, I would love his offense to stand up against this great defense, because not only would a win do plenty for his legacy in a great way, but it also would be a case, Nathan, of doing it against the best possible defense that would have success, that would have the best chances of success of shutting down that unbelievable Bronco passing game.
Absolutely. This is because the fact it's the number one offense versus the number one defense, it is a massive game in terms of, and it's not going to be in a dome. It's not going to be in a climate-controlled environment. It's a massive game for him. So I pulled up these stats. So this was going into last week. Mm-hmm. So obviously Tom Brady will have one more loss here, and Peyton Manning would have one more win, which actually brings his playoff record to 11-11. The true playoff record, which is would be when you get a bye, it counts as a win. If you don't make the playoffs, it counts as a loss, which makes Peyton 6-2 on that criteria. His true playoff record would be 16-13. Guys that would have a true playoff record better than his: Aaron Rodgers, Jim Kelly, John Elway, Eli Manning, Steve Young, Ben Roethlisberger, Troy Aikman, your boy Joe Flacco, Joe Montana, and Tom Brady. And that's going up from Peyton. So given how great of a regular season quarterback he is, given how great his regular season win-loss record was, there is something that has to be considered glaring about the discrepancy between his regular season wins and losses and his playoff wins and losses. There's got to be. I mean, he's the only one that's been that great that has not also been that great in the playoffs. And the only guy that kind of, I would say, fit the bill as a great quarterback who has not done as well in the playoffs, there are two of them. Drew Brees, if you count, it would be similar, and Dan Marino.
Yeah, I was just going to say Marino would be the guy, and he's football royalty as far as I'm concerned. So
I agree.
He got, you know, he lost the only Super Bowl he played in.
The Joe Montana.
But that's what I'm saying. Many years later, I think we can look upon Dan Marino favorably as being an iconic player, as being one of the best pure passers in the game. And you go through those things, but then when you switch the discussion to, okay, line up the best of the best, and that is held, it's got to be held against them. I mean, because quarterbacks, like coaches, their records are judged by championships. And this is going to be the thing that is going to work into the Peyton Manning discussion. Like it or not, if the Broncos don't win that game Sunday, that's a storyline that any number of people around the football world are going to pounce on, and pounce on heavily. I mean, they'll celebrate the fact that the Seahawks won and however they did it, but Peyton Manning versus a second-year quarterback in Russell Wilson, the feeling there, at least in that portion of the matchup, is that the Broncos should have a significant edge. But I think it's mitigated, it's offset by the fact that the Broncos have so much other balance, such a great defense, such a great running game with Marshawn Lynch, so many other ways that they can control and possibly win that football game that don't have to do with a great playing quarterback, even though I'll give Russell Wilson a lot of props for knowing how his role, knowing his place on that football team, and staying within himself and doing all the right things, making right decisions that a lot of younger quarterbacks don't make.
Absolutely. And let me just make one last, this will be my definitive statement on Peyton Manning, to kind of put it so it's not a backhanded compliment. Or maybe it is, maybe that's just the way that it is.
John Fox, by the way, head coach of the Broncos, spoke at Media Day today, and he was asked the question, if win or lose, is Manning still one of the best quarterbacks ever in the game?
Look, you know, I work with one that's actually my boss, John Elway, so I don't want to upset him. But, you know, again, I don't really get into the best ever, but I know he's one of the best ever. And so, you know, I know this means a lot to him, and I hope he gets that dream come Sunday.
Yeah, and this is another thing for John Fox to, again, coach and quarterback united. And I loved how he handled that answer, because he does answer to John Elway in Denver. And Elway, look at his career. And I covered his entire career. When I remember writing all those stories of the repeated Bronco failures in the Super Bowl, and it became a joke. It became the Broncos stay away from the Super Bowl because all you do is ruin it. Not only were they losing, they were getting trounced. And then he comes back late in his career, and I say he comes back, but has this guy named Terrell Davis with him, and that was the difference maker, that right component that the Broncos had with Mike Shanahan as their coach, and they go ahead and win back-to-back Super Bowls. And for John Elway's sake, I mean, it was needed. It was the kind of thing that his legacy got repaired and then some in those last two Super Bowls.
No question about it. And I think when you look at Peyton Manning, and here's kind of like my final statement on it.
Yeah.
If he had gone to four Super Bowls and won them, a la Joe Montana, I don't think there's any question that he's the best quarterback of all time.
Yes. No doubt. No doubt.
I don't think there is. And so there is that pressure on him, yes. I think, in this game because it can answer a lot of questions. And one of the questions that Peyton was asked was if there was anything he'd do differently from his past Super Bowls this time around.
I won one, and I've been a part of a team that's lost one. And so that's, it's equally as disappointing as it is. It's equally gratifying to win it. So I know which outcome I'd prefer, I can tell you that. But our preparation has been good so far this week and last week. I think it'll continue through the rest of the week.
That's good stuff. There's a head game here. There's a mental part of this thing.
Absolutely.
And if he doesn't let it prey on him, then I think he's fine. But Peyton Manning can let stuff like that prey on him. And I think, as you said, you look for an explanation for the difference between regular season and postseason, and it is about the mental part of it. I'm not going to go into psychobabble here, but I think there's a lot of truth to that, just given a lot of people I know who have been around him. Talking with a Bill Polian, for instance, who was the guy who drafted him, and it was with him for the majority of his career with the Indianapolis Colts, what he sees and has seen from Manning and the thinking that goes into Manning's game and the deep, deep thought, you know, working with a guy like that, how their offense was contoured to what he did best and how it's continued to evolve into what it is now with the Denver Broncos. We want to hear from you, by the way, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. Gerard Cherry is going to join us in our second hour, about an hour from now, get his thoughts on the new additions to the Browns coaching staff and where the Browns go from here for the rest of their hires, especially that critical offensive coordinator position. We want to get into that as well. And we hope to hear from Doug Deacon, I think, in the second hour. We're still trying to effort that. To make Deke, where are you? We're trying to get a phone connection with him, the ever elusive one. So we'll see if that can happen in the second hour as well. Jason Gibbs producing for us today. We got Carly McCord tweeting. And again, she'll put together the Browns Daily Wrap that you'll be able to read on ClevelandBrowns.com later today. Vic Carucci with you from Super Bowl Radio Row, Super Bowl 48 in the heart of Manhattan. Nathan Zagura is back there in Northeast Ohio. We're not freezing where we are now, but if we step outside, we will. It's cold, but that's okay. We'll keep you warm talking football right here on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. Everything that I see.